Hi, everyone. You're listening to the Bitches Be Brave podcast, where we talk about support for each other and what it means to be brave as a mom, as a woman, as a working mom. I'm your host, Bev Steele, and quite frankly, work-life balance is crap. We all just want a life. Thank you for joining me today. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. I am talking today to Jennifer Jacobson, who is a life coach and a former psychotherapist. And she coaches moms, moms of girls, and mompreneurs. And loved my talk with Jennifer today. I just really think that for me, at the point that I am in my life and in my career, talking about women and how we find support, what we do to self-sabotage ourselves, where we say it's burnout, but it's really isolation, invalidation. All of these things are so important for us to look at, and also to realize that we're not necessarily going to get support from our mom friends, our best friends, because some of the growth that we need to have today needs to come from within. And that's getting very, very honest with ourselves about who we are today and who we want to be. We talk a lot about vision and why having a vision for where you want to go is so important. And I really think that really looking at when you want to make change in your life, and that it just doesn't come in one day. Like, change is not a two-week diet, a quick fix. It's not like, I'm going to start doing this and I want to automatically be that other person. We have to evolve. We have to start where we're at and be okay where we're at and slowly make changes that are going to move us into the direction of the life that we want. And I really believe that if we can move ourselves past week one, week two, week three with us along the way. You know, if our kids are struggling in school, we find a tutor. You know, there's so many times that we reach out for support for our family, for our friends, and for some reason, we just don't think that we deserve to have that same support. So I am really excited for you to hear the interview. None of us are perfect. We all struggle. Life evolves. And how do we navigate through it? So here we go.
Hey guys, we're just taking a quick break to tell you about an amazing new wine that we just discovered. You guys know that nobody loves a glass of wine more than we do. But when we learned what is actually in the wine that we were drinking, we were shocked. No wonder we were getting headaches, brain fog, and having trouble sleeping.
That's right, Heather, but then we discovered dry farm wines. Dry farm wines are organically crafted, unprocessed wine free of sugar, additives, and lower in alcohol. These wines are amazing, and they're better for our bodies and our planet. Now we can enjoy the pleasure and euphoria of wine without the negative effects of higher alcohol consumption.
To find out where you can try these amazing wines and get a special Bitches Be Brave discount, click on the link in our show notes below.
I love that question. For me, it's being afraid and doing it anyway. Being afraid and knowing that it's going to be hard and knowing that it's going to take some work. But, you know, once you know what that vision is that you're working towards, just staying strong and sticking to it, you know, because you're always going to have bad days and you're always going to have days where you feel like, you know, throwing your laptop out the window, you're going to have those days. And so I think, you know, sticking to it, just keep going and telling yourself it's okay. Just keep going and you'll get there. Sometimes it takes a long time, a lot longer than we wish it would take, but you will get there eventually.
And it always feels so much better when you move through that fear, right?
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Amazing. So I loved having you today, Jennifer. Can you tell our listeners where they can get a hold of you, find you, all of that good stuff?
Yeah, it's always tough because my last name is Jacobson, but it's spelled with a K. Yeah.
Hi, Jennifer. Welcome. It's so great to have you here. Finally, it took us a while to get together.
That's okay. Better late than never. I'm so excited to be here finally, and I can't wait to chat with you today.
I knew when we were emailing each other that you're a mom of three daughters, and so am I, so you would totally understand the craziness.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I was in a session earlier today, and they were playing some sort of game, my three girls, and screaming bloody murder at the top of their lungs, and I'm like, how is this going to work? You guys being home, me being home, trying to do sessions. So it's a challenge. Three girls are never a dull moment.
And girl screams. It's not like they're unnerving or anything.
No, not at all. I don't think anyone's dying ever. No.
Now remind me, how old are your daughters?
So my oldest is 15 and a half, almost 16. Ooh. So that whole driving thing's right around the corner. And then I have a 13-year-old and a 10-year-old.
Oh, okay. So my baby's 16. So I'm just a step ahead of you. So I'll let you know how that goes. But she's my baby. So I'm kind of over the whole driving thing. Like by the time my baby drove, I'm like, just please drive yourself to school.
Yeah.
Just go. The first one, you're like, I can't imagine her getting on that California freeway, you know?
Gosh, I can't even imagine in California, although it's really not much better here in Phoenix, I have to say.
Yeah. So let's get started. I'd love for you to tell our listeners about yourself and how you're helping women wake up and be awesome.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Well, I love that. I hope that's what's happening.
Well, that was on your coffee cup on your site. Oh, I thought.
Yes. I do love that coffee cup. Yeah. Very inspiring. Yes. So, I mean, I don't know how far back you want to go, but I wanted to help women discover that it was an option, like way back in high school, studying psychology. I'm like, I just love like learning about people and like psychology. I'm just a huge like psych nerd. And so it's always been kind of on my, just kind of on whatever. It was just always on my mind that I wanted to help women. And so I eventually got my bachelor's in psychology, and then I went on and got my master's in clinical social work so that I could do psychotherapy. And so I did that for many years before I had kids. And then my husband and I, you know, had the talk about, you know, am I going to work or am I going to stay at home? And we both decided, because social work salaries are horrible, that it would make more sense for me to stay at home. And after I had my first daughter, I was like, it was weird because this totally unexpected thing happened where I was like, I kind of want to work still. Like I kind of like, you know, like all I wanted to do was like be a mom. And then I was like, yeah, you know, this is kind of boring. I mean, I loved being around my babies, but it was like, I missed grown-up interaction. I missed using my skills. I missed doing the things that I really loved, which was therapy at the time. And then so I spent some time at home and I did, you know, little things here and there, different MLMs, that kind of thing. And I'm like, God, but it's just not fulfilling. It's not filling me up the way that I really needed. And so I discovered life coaching, which is, it's an interesting thing because therapy and life coaching are similar in a lot of ways. But when I discovered that life coaching looks at not your past, which is what therapy looks like. So anyway, I discovered that life coaching focuses on the future, right? So instead of healing from past, you know, whatever's happened in the past and kind of exploring that and gaining insight into what's already occurred, what I loved about coaching was it takes you from where you are now to where you truly want to be. And I think therapy is such a valuable thing, but after having three kids, I was like, ugh, I don't know if I can handle all the like heavy stuff, right? I really just wanted to focus on really helping women get to a place in their lives where they were just feeling really happy, really joyful, really enjoying every part of this one life that we have. And so I pursued coaching. I got trained as a coach. I'm a certified life coach. And then I had to figure out my niche, which is the other big issue when you're an entrepreneur. You got to figure out, okay, who's my audience? And so I hit my head against the wall for many years trying to figure out who my ideal client was. And then finally I was like, what's wrong with me? It's been right in front of me the whole time. Like, mompreneurs are where it's at because I'm a mom, I'm an entrepreneur. And so what I decided I wanted to do was I wanted to help other mom entrepreneurs pursue their passion because, you know, it really just, it made such a difference for me to be doing the things that doing the thing I was good at and the thing that I loved also, besides just, you know, being a mom. And I'll never say just being a mom, because being a mom is the most important job on the planet. But when we expect ourselves to, you know, be fulfilled by doing laundry and dishes and playing with Barbie dolls, like, it's just, it's a big expectation we have of ourselves. And so when I was able to go back to work, I actually was a better mom. I was actually more fulfilled. My cup was full. I wasn't pouring from an empty cup anymore. I was really loving so much of my life. And I really do think, like, everything in my life improved once I was able to kind of invest in myself and invest in the things that I don't know that I was doing before I had the babies. So
yeah, it is interesting. Yeah. That so many women that I talk to after they have their first child is really when they start that investigation of who they are. At first, you know, of course, you're so involved in being pregnant and having the baby, and then you have the baby. And I know even for me, with each of my daughters, during maternity, I would play kind of this game, maternity leave, play this game with myself where it's like, okay, what would it be like if I wasn't then going back to my corporate job? What would this right. be like? So it's such an interesting thing that you say that's kind of where you found the passion. And you're like, hey, why am I getting pulled in this direction? And so yeah. Can you just expand on what you've seen with the womenpreneurs that you work with? You know, is that kind of a turning point when a woman has their first child?
I think it's just so different for everybody, and everyone just has a completely different path and a different journey. But I think I will say that the moms that are kind of built to do more than momming, you know,
yeah.
I don't know how else to describe it, but, you know, they kind of have that other piece of them that I suppose there's moms that are just really fulfilled by being a stay-at-home mom and doing all the things. And those are the Pinterest moms who are always like, planning yes. activities and crafts, and maybe that for them is like what totally fills them up. But there is a different type of mom out there that I think they really want to do more than that. They want to make an impact in a different sort of way, and they want to, I don't know, they just want to serve in another way besides being a mom. And so for them, I think it's really important to know that it's okay to do that, you know. And I think yeah. so many moms, we put so much pressure on ourselves because, you know, we're so nurturing by nature, and we just feel like this is what we're supposed to do and this is how we should be, that a lot of us like just don't even pursue our other passions, right? We think it's kind of wrong of us to do that for some reason. So I think a lot of moms, you know, a lot of the moms that I work with have jobs where they can work from home. And so they're kind of doing both, which can also be a huge struggle, because to try to run a business and have kids at the same time. And those are like the moms that I work with a lot of the time, are those moms that are trying to do both, and they're juggling all the things, and they're just overwhelmed, and they're frustrated, and they're stressed out, and they're exhausted, they're tired. And so I think what I help them with is knowing, like, it's okay to, like, take a break from that, and that, you know, you can still be a good mom and a good business owner and not have to be hustling 24/7. So
right.
I hope yeah. I answered your question.
I'm not sure. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I just feel like, you know, we have that guilt, of course, you know, that if I work, that means I don't love my kids and I don't want to be home with my kids. Or, you know, if I'm home, that means I'm not motivated, you know, to be all right. that in the world. And it's okay to want to have it all. Like, I can want to kill it at my job and be recognized at my job and be all that. And I can want to be an amazing mom and show up for my kids. And women need to hear that, because I think that's been the struggle.
I totally agree. I think that, yeah, I think we just put so much pressure on ourselves. And I think women do need to hear that. It's okay to want it all. I mean, we have one life. I mean, I just think, you know, tomorrow's not guaranteed. And so you gotta love every part of it. And so many people just stay stuck in, you know, these comfort zones and these, you know, routines that they're in, and they're on this hamster wheel. And it's like, there's more if you want it, you know, and if you don't want it, that's okay too. But if you want more, like, oh my gosh, go get the more, you know what I mean? I think it's so important for, like you just said, for us to know that's okay.
Yeah. And I think that so many times, you know, if you're a woman is feeling burnt out or tired, they think, how could I possibly start something for myself? Right. But I really think that that all comes from really you not pursuing that passion. You have the fear, of course. Right. But there's also, I think, kind of an isolation when you do not allow yourself to look into that passion of, you know, what is your drive? What do you want to do? So do you typically, when you're working with women, are you helping them to have the courage to do this, or are you actually helping them start the business, or kind of how do you incorporate your coaching?
And my coaching starts wherever the client's at, right? So if they have not started the business yet, that's totally fine. If they've started and maybe they're doing really well, but they have discovered they have no, like, I hate to use the word balance because that word gets such a bad rap, but you know, if they're just working, and they're not giving themselves any breaks, they're not taking care of themselves, of course, you know, sometimes it can affect their relationships too. I mean, I think it's the gamut. I work with, you know, whatever their struggles are. And I think a lot of it, like you said, is fear, like fear of starting the business, fear of growing the business. What would that mean to grow the business? Does that lead to more guilt then because I'm taking more time away from my family? But I think you made such an important point, is that actually when we feel exhausted and we're drained, it's because we're not doing the things that light us up, right? Like we think, oh, it's just we're tired because we're tired. Well, we're tired because we're doing things day in and day out that are not fulfilling to us. We're exhausted because we're not excited, you know? And when you find the thing that you love and you do it and you are successful at it, it's incredible how much energy you have left over, really. And right. I think that's the key right there, is just knowing that, you know, everyone talks about like time management, all of that. We all have 24 hours in a day, right? But if you're excited about something, the time it's not really that important because you find the time to do the things that you love. So
yeah, I shared with you before we started that I am working with a group of our listeners on 6 weeks of Brave Motivation, and I just threw it out on Instagram and had all of these women say, okay, I'm in. And yeah, so when I started it, I thought, was I crazy? Like, how am I going to lead, or they're leading me, actually, they're motivating me for six weeks. And it's been so eye-opening to me, so very eye-opening to me in the ebb and flow of any goal that we set for ourselves. So I'm curious, how long typically does your coaching last? And can you share what is the evolution of a goal, or, you know, take me through kind of what you see and how long the period is?
Yeah. So, I have never gotten that question before. That's so cool.
Well, I'm right. We're ending week four, going into week five. I'm thinking, are we going to get over this hump? But you know, it's almost like you take three steps forward and then there's a couple steps back. Right. And that's, natural, normal, is that part of the process? But I just wonder, you know, how long does somebody have you as a coach where they start to see real, you know, results and movements and really feel like, okay, I'm good, I'm moving forward?
Yeah, and it, again, and I know this is just such the canned answer, but it really depends on the person. My particular coaching program is a 12-week program because I do think that we need at least that much time to really see some change. Because like you said, it's not just, you know, a consistent progression from like, I'm starting at A and then I get to Z, you know, it's not, it's not, there are ups and downs. There's one step forward, two steps back in a lot of cases. And I think some of the work is helping moms to know that like, that's okay. And that baby steps are still going to get you to where you're going. Right. And to let them know that, like, it's really important to be kind to ourselves as we are going along with these goals, right? And so one of the first things I work with moms on is vision. So vision is kind of similar to a goal, but it's also something that, you know, it's like a goal you set, you know, maybe a very time-limited goal for, you know, a couple weeks, and then you achieve that goal and you're like, okay, did that one, cross it off the list, let's go to the next thing. Where a vision is actually something that's much more inspiring. It's something that really gets you excited every day because you're working towards something bigger and you're working towards something a little further out, I think. And then you start to, when you have that vision in mind and you keep it like intentionally in your like day-to-day life and you're always thinking about it and focusing on it, it really helps you to kind of show up as that person, like show up as that vision of yourself in the future. And so a lot of the work that we do is kind of starts with that, like, okay, what's the perfect situation? Because a lot of times we don't allow ourselves as moms to even see that. Like, we think about our kids, we think about, oh, what are they going to be when they grow up? Where are they going to go to college? Like, we think of all of this, but like, what about us? Like, what do we want our life to look like in 5-10 years? You know? So I think it's important to start there. And I can't say that, you know, all coaching is going to just take 12 weeks. Some people continue on. Some people drop off before that time. Some of my clients, it's hard to get them to come every week because, you know, making changes is hard. We don't want to move. We don't want to, you know, get out of our comfort zone. We like staying comfortable and where we're at.
And we don't want to be reminded that we aren't staying on track, do we?
Right. No. Yeah. And that's the accountability piece. And a lot of people don't want to do things that are different because, you know, familiarity is just, it's easy and it's comfortable and we can continue to do that. Or we can take a step out of our comfort zone and we can really, like you said in the beginning, like get to know who we are and really gain some insight into what really lights us up and then keep moving in that direction. I mean, I know for so many years, I was just struggling. Like I was just, you know, throwing the spaghetti at the wall, as they say, and seeing what sticks, and nothing was sticking for a long time. But you know, the one thing I will say for myself is I had the perseverance. I stuck to it. And the reason I stuck to it was because I knew that this is what I want to do. And I really struggled to get the clients to, you know, have the right messaging. I struggled in the beginning. And honestly, I could have given up, but I've hired so many coaches. And so I don't know. Yeah. Sometimes you need different kinds of coaches too. Like I'm a mindset coach. And so maybe you want to work on your mindset first, and then maybe you want somebody who's more of a business-minded coach to help you with the marketing and the advertising, because there's so much in running your own business that is like, no one tells you that, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like no one tells you all the things that you don't know, right?
Right.
There's so many things you don't know. So
yeah. And then you run into it and you're like, why did I not know that 3 months ago? Yeah.
Right. Exactly. And that's why I hope, and this isn't just a shameless promo or anything, I really hope that people will consider hiring some help, a mentor, a coach, whatever it might be, because it's a lot for us to do all by ourselves. I don't think we're meant to do this alone as far as running a business and trying to juggle all the things as a mom too. I really think that women need to say, okay, it's okay to need help. It's okay to need a little bit of a boost because, whoa, it's a lot.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. And I love what you say about the vision. We did a vision board with the 6 weeks of motivation. And I think it is so eye-opening to see what you put for yourself on a vision board, what you really want, and then compare that to what you're doing. You know, what is your everyday? And, you know, I'm into habit tracking, habit stacking, yeah. And I like to look at my vision board, because I do one once a year, and then say, okay, what in my day am I doing? And I can tell you so many days, something that I said was important, I'm not even doing. So I love that that vision is super, super important. So one of the things that has been so apparent is self-sabotage. And to me, self-sabotage, like whatever. But when you're in it, really trying to change your habits, reach your goals, and realizing that self-sabotage is just really working against yourself, doing everything you can not to achieve that goal, it's mind-blowing to me. So can you expand a little bit more about, you know, why is it so difficult for us to change our mindset? And we say that we want these things, but then when we get down to it, we just don't do them. What is happening there?
Oh gosh, I wish I knew.
You do.
I wish I knew. Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of times we're afraid. And so we sabotage ourselves because, you know, it's a big change. And really, nobody wants to do the work to change, because just like I was saying before, it's like our brains want to stay, they want to keep us safe, right? I mean, that's how we evolved, right? We want to be safe, and all of our brain, our brain power, all of our thoughts, everything is telling us, stay where you are, keep doing what you're doing because you're safe. And anything outside of that it's a risk. And even though it might be a good risk, your brain doesn't know that. Your brain doesn't know that this could actually be a good thing. Your brain's like, no, but it's different. It's change. It's not jiving with what we're used to. So your brain wants to keep you safe. It doesn't care about, how you could make more money or have more time freedom or have a better life or more joy or happiness. It doesn't care about that. It wants to keep you safe. That's its only goal. And so we sabotage ourselves unconsciously, I think. We don't do it purposely. We're not like, hey, I'm going to sabotage myself today. Right. That sounds like a good idea. We don't do it on purpose, but it's just our unconscious keeping us doing the same things so that, we don't have to change. And there might be a million reasons that are underlying that too. Like, for example, if I made more money, what would that mean? And again, the reasons moms have are they're endless, right? Would that mean, oh my gosh, that would mean that I made more money than my parents did? And what are they going to think about me if I make more money than them? Or what's my husband going to think of me if I start to make more money? And is that, here's one thing that comes to mind for me. It's my husband's always been the breadwinner, and he works the 9 to 5 and he brings in all the money. Well, if I start making a ton of money, does that mean he's going to pull his fair share around the house? I mean, no offense to my husband, but I kind of doubt it, So that could be one reason that you sabotage yourself, because you're if I really, really am successful and I do really, really well, what's going to happen to the rest of my life? How is this going to affect my family, my relationships? Is my husband going to feel different about me because I'm not cooking dinner anymore? And So I think there's all kinds of different stories that we tell ourselves to keep us kind of stuck in the same place. And so it's just easier to self-sabotage.
Yeah. And I think especially working with mompreneurs, there's that voice inside you, or me, I should say me, that says, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are that you can do a podcast? Who do you think you are that you can lead women in motivation? Because you definitely need help yourself. Who do you think you are that you can start a business? Or so even before they can get to the point of saying, hey, if I make more than my husband, who's going to buy anything from me, or who's going to want to listen to me, or who's so
exactly.
And yeah. I don't know if that comes from our generation being raised potentially, some of us, a lot of us, maybe by a mom that stayed home and a father mm-hmm. that worked, and what kind mm-hmm. of conflict is going on, you know, and that's probably where that comes from, saying, okay, well, my husband's the breadwinner, my dad was the breadwinner, like, who do I think I could be?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So I think there's the family messages that we got growing up. There's societal messages. There's, you know, obviously all the messages we get on social media. I mean, we're just bombarded with all these different things coming at us all over the place. And then ultimately it is our thoughts, right? Because you're like, who am I? Well, that's imposter syndrome. So you feel like an imposter. You feel like, who the heck am I to think I can help other women when I'm a mess myself, right?
Right.
And actually, like, that's the thing, is that other women are going to want to be helped by somebody who's still kind of a little mess themselves. Like, nobody wants to be, like, they're not going to be able to relate to somebody who's, like, this guru, right? If they have everything in their life figured out, you can't relate. And so what I think people connect to, moms especially, is people who can relate. People who are like, I know what you're going through. I've been there myself. It's hard. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I've had clients hire me, you know, they've had other coaches and they're like, you know what? I really want to work with you because you're a mom and you get moms, right? And so for them, that was like a really important thing. And I was like, wow, you know, I didn't have to like get any certification for that. I just had to have babies, you know?
You're right.
And that's why she hired me, because she felt like I could understand what she was going through. And I think that's really important, is, yeah, just being able to connect to the people that you're selling to, whatever you're selling, whether it's a service or a product. Like, no one wants to buy from this person who's like, you know, 100 years or 100 steps ahead of them. Like, a couple steps is great. Like, that way you feel more human, you feel more real, you know?
Yeah. And I also think that, you know, you may expect to get more support from your family or your friends, but that doesn't necessarily happen when you decide to do something big on your own. You know, you're not necessarily going to have those people that are used to you, how you were being this new person. Yeah. So to have someone to say, hey, you know, is this normal? This is what I'm getting, you know, or to get, you know, some positive feedback where somebody else, even a spouse, could be worried about you changing or not having as much time with you. Do you run into that?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And the other thing I run into a lot is like kind of along those lines, where there's clients who are focused on growing their businesses, but there's all these other things happening in their life that are kind of getting in the way. Like, they're having fights with their husband, or their kids are really struggling in one way or another. They're having, you know, problems with, you know, maybe a family member, like a parent or even like an in-law or something like that. And all of those things are super important for growing your business too. I mean, it sounds so weird, but like our lives are not in these perfect little boxes. Everything comes in and everything is thrown into the pot. And so I think it's important to have a life coach that can coach you on life too, right? Like, if you just want business coaching, that's great. Like, get a business coach who's going to help you with the marketing and the advertising. But if you've got other things going on in your life that might be affecting it, might be affecting your success, like, it's important to hire someone that can help you navigate all of those things too, because it's not all clear cut and easy to just focus on one thing at a time. It's all coming in. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Does that make sense? That makes so much sense. And I think that's kind of where we get stuck, is that we think everything has to be perfect. It's like, you know, how many times have you used the excuse? I'm just so busy. I can't exercise. I'm so busy. Well, that's never going to go away, you know, and the family issues, I mean, life evolves, you know, we're going to have hardships. We're going to have heartache. We're going to have celebration. We're going to have love. We're going to have it all. And to be able to navigate that life that you want, it is challenging, and it is something that I think that we as women need help with. I mean, there's so many stories that I hear and women that I talk to that just are like, they just feel stuck, You know, like, yeah. How can I possibly do this with everything else on my plate?
Right. And I think the hard truth is that we have to put ourselves first. And I think so many women and moms especially are like, no, I can't do that. I've got like little humans who are depending on me. And I'm not saying neglect your little humans, but what I am saying is if you put yourself up high on your list of priorities, you have so much more to give them. You have so much more to give everybody. Mm-hmm. And if you put yourself last, you have nothing left to give. And that's not doing your kids justice. I mean, your kids shouldn't have to be worrying about you falling apart because you're so completely overwhelmed. But if you can take the time, you know, and it's hard, I get it. Like I'm living it. It's not that I don't understand, but if you can take the time to put yourself first, and if exercise is something that fills you up and makes you feel better and, you know, gives you that energy for your day, then you have to do that. You have to do it. It's a non-negotiable. And yes. We feel like things are like a luxury. It's not. Like this should be a part of your business plan. Like,
yeah.
For me, exercise is so huge, and it really gives me the energy that I need. And the, you know, part of it is like my self-confidence too. Like I feel good. Like I did this thing for me today. And so if you keep doing those things for you every day, you actually end up having so much more energy to give everybody else, give your business. You have so much more in that cup, you know, that proverbial cup.
Cause,
it's empty. You can't do anything for anybody.
Yeah. And I think that's where we get into the rut of saying, you know, I'm exhausted. I'm so tired. I'm going to sit down, drink a bottle of wine, eat cake because I deserve it. You know, I'm exhausted. I did everything for everyone else. And that's where the trouble begins, right? Because you're not doing those things for yourself. So you're either bored, unsatisfied, you know, so that's when we throw our hands up. And I don't know if you listened to a recent podcast I did with my daughter who turned 21 about what it was like being raised by a working mom, but that was eye-opening to me. Like I had so many years of guilt because I was, you know, loving my job and doing that. And I love being a mom. And for her to say, wow, you know what? You don't have to be at all the things. You are at most of the things. So So that's a huge takeaway from today is just like, you can fill yourself up and be who you want to be, start a business, get a coach, and also have kids that thrive, love you, a spouse that's got a happy wife, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love that so much. And yeah, I mean, I think it's just the stories we're telling ourselves and it's not even true. I mean, you just got the evidence from your daughter.
I know.
I'm a bad mom because I didn't make, you know, the soccer game or the theater performance. I'm a bad mom. No, you're not actually. And it's actually good for your kids to see you taking care of yourself. And I think it's kind of good for them too, to know that like life happens. I might not be able to be there for you all the time at every single thing, but I still love you and I'm still proud of you. And I don't have to be physically present to be there, you know,
loving you and supporting you.
Spirit, right? So I think it's a good lesson to learn. I think nowadays, especially, I think we coddle our children so much and we just, you know, we give so much of ourselves for them, but really we're doing them a disservice because they're watching their parents, you know, maybe not be happy. And really, I mean, for me growing up, you know, my parents didn't like each other very much. And I think that if I could have seen them happier, and I think they stayed together for so many years because they didn't want to like, you know, hurt us or, you know, break up the family. And oh my God, I think my life would have been turned out so differently if they would have just taken care of themselves and like, okay, well, if you're not happy together, be happy apart because I'm going to be happier when you're happy apart.
Right. Yeah. And definitely what are they modeling then? Right. So that can cause you confusion as well. So boy, that's a whole nother episode. We're going to have to, that's a good one. Okay, so Jennifer, I'm starting something new here at the end of the podcast. I would love for you to take me through a typical day for you.
Oh my gosh. A good day or a bad day?
Let's take yesterday. Well, you know, what do you like? What time do you normally get up? What do you eat? What do you, what do you do?
Yes. Okay. Well, let me tell you on a perfect day, on the day that I strive for, I get up at 6:30. This is something I've fallen away from lately, but I'm being kind to myself and telling myself it's okay. That's the mindset piece.
Yeah.
For me, I need my cup of coffee first. Nothing wrong with that. And then I try to do a little very, very brief meditation, like literally like between 5 and 10 minutes. And then I try to do some journaling. And those are the two things that I really let slip when things are crazy. The things I don't let slip, I try to exercise at least in some way every single day. That's like a non-negotiable for me because, you know, it's kind of a stress reliever. It helps me with just feeling more energetic, feeling, you know, good about myself, knowing I did something good for myself.
What's your exercise of choice?
Oh goodness. Well, I have to mix it up because I get really bored.
Yeah.
But my favorite, actually, this is kind of funny. I like to do something on the computer. So I watched, you know, some sort of exercise video. Right now I'm doing Peloton. I don't have a bike or anything, but I'm doing their app.
Oh, okay. I hear it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they have so many different workouts that you can do. And this is the funny thing. So then I'll either at the same time listen to a podcast or watch like a TED Talk or something like that. Because
habit stacking. Love it.
Yeah. So that makes it go so much faster for me because although I love exercise, I also don't love exercise. Sometimes it's hard and sometimes I don't feel like it. So I motivate myself by knowing because what I do love is podcasts.
Yes.
I love podcasts. I love learning. I love all of that. So if I can mix those two things together, that's great. I try to drink a green juice or a smoothie in the morning first thing because then I know I've gotten some good stuff in me, you know, first thing, even if I can't find time to eat something super healthy later, that way I'm doing something good for myself right away.
Yeah.
And when the kids are, you know, in school, I drive them to school. I try to fit a walk in during the day at some point because we have two dogs. So I try to give them a walk. But I'll be honest, my days are not perfect. I don't have the perfect, you know, routine every single day. I don't always do all the things I want to do. But I remember that tomorrow's a new day. And I tell myself that it's okay. And I don't have to be perfect. I used to think I needed to be perfect. And I think a lot of moms think they need to be perfect. And I think it's just really important to know, like, we do the best we can every day. And if you can fit in, you know, all those things, great. And if you can't, totally fine. Don't beat yourself up.
And I think it's like, you know, when you're getting off track, like, you know, the mornings that you get up and you do your meditation, you do your journal, you get in that, you're feeling good, right? You have your green juice, like you've set the intention for the day. And then we get crazy and we get off and we're not doing that because things happen, right? And that's when you can correct and say, okay, why am I feeling so off? Tomorrow I need to get up. I'm going to do my routine. And I think that's the important message there.
Yeah. And you can recorrect at any time. Like if you just feel like you're having a, you know, your day's not going in the direction that you want it to go in, ask yourself, what do I need right now? What do I actually need right now that's going to make me feel better? And I know a lot of times for me, it's just simply getting away from my desk, like getting out of my office, going outside, breathing some fresh air, you know, just, and the other thing that's so, so important for me is gratitude. And so it just reminded me, because when I go outside, I really try to like feel so grateful that I'm living in a great place. I love, you know, I love my surroundings. I love seeing the blue sky. I love, you know, really appreciating the things around us. I think that can really reset us as well. Just feeling grateful for what we have, because it's easy. Oh God, it's so easy to go down that rabbit hole when things aren't going well, you're having a bad day, and it feels like everything's just, you know, fighting against you, you know,
right.
So it's like resetting our brain and just saying, hey, you know, at least I've got this, these things are still going well. And it really doesn't do us any good to go down that rabbit hole. So I try to like switch. I try to switch my thoughts as soon as I possibly can. And that is not something I learned, you know, growing up. It's something I've had to coach myself on and teach myself. But it really does work if you can notice those really negative thoughts coming in. You just switch them. Just decide intentionally that you're not going to think that way, because it doesn't get us anywhere.
Yeah. And I really think with the pandemic, everyone being home, working from home, I've had a home office, but I used to travel a lot, and just making sure that having that morning routine, you know, rolling over and getting on your phone or getting right on your work computer, not good. You know, you really need to have that time in the morning. I always say do something else first, like before, before you throw yourself into your phone and your computer, like the meditation or I love to sit there for a moment and be quiet with my thoughts, because that's when things come. And I guess that's meditation, because I say I don't meditate, but I do.
It is.
But it makes a big difference. And then you can hit that work hard, or, you know, whatever you have going crazy with the kids. So I love that.
Yeah.
So Jennifer, something I always ask my guests, what does it mean to you to be brave?
My website is jennifer.jacobsonlifecoaching.com. And then you can email me at jacobsonlifecoaching@gmail.com.
Okay.
And then on Instagram, what the heck is my Instagram? I don't know why I can't ever remember my Instagram. It's J Jacobson Life Coach.
Okay.
And so again, last name is J-A-K-O-B-S-E-N.
I'll put all that in the show notes so everyone can get a hold of you. And I so love talking to you, and I hope to see you when I go to Arizona next time.
I would love that. We should definitely have coffee.
That would be great. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much, Bev. Bye-bye.